Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. The Reverend Phil Krupski is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke chapter 9. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. In whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have hung around church musicians all my life. And the difference between really good church musicians, maybe like Mark Bender there up at the organ, or an organist that I got to serve with for years, is that they have this incredible focus, a singular focus, that when they're playing their instrument, everything else disappears, and that's all they think about is playing. It was one night, we had Saturday night services at my congregation, and the worst thunderstorm came through, the kind thunder's rattling the stained glass windows. It's awful. Bright lightning. Everything is awful. All the people in the church are looking around in fear. And there's our organist just playing this intense prelude, not missing a single beat. Her eyes are just glued on her music. And she played away. And it struck me at that point that the difference between her and me, lots of things, but the difference between her and me in terms of being able to play a musical instrument was that singular focus. I pray that the Church of Pentecost, which we live in, may have the singular focus on the work of the kingdom of God. And that we are not just a people who are attracted by the shiny thing of the moment. I share a couple of scripture readings to help us gain that laser focus. The first comes from Matthew chapter 24. It's Holy Week. Jesus is in the temple. He's preaching about the end times and emphasizing just the words just drip with intensity. And Jesus says, and the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. It's pretty insightful. Then the end will come. And what will that end look like? I invite you to think about the words of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, where Peter said, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and all the works that are done on it will be exposed. And since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be as you live lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening of the coming of the day of God, because the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn, but according to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth, the home of righteousness. So putting those two verses together, when will that day come? It'll come when God in his providence is satisfied that the last person who will hear the gospel and come to faith has come to faith. And then the purpose of this present age will have been completed. And then the end will come. Every time I read our gospel reading for today from Luke chapter 9, I am impressed by the singular focus of Jesus as he apostles, as he sends out those 12 to go out and do their work. He sends them out with a singular power and authority. power even over demons, power even to heal diseases. There was a singularness of mission as well. What were they to do? Nothing more than, nothing less than, to preach the kingdom of God. And they were to make whole, really, is the word. It's translated usually as heal, to make whole the weak. They were to have a singularness of focus of time and of energy. They weren't really worried about their compensation packages as professional church workers. They were to remain in one house if that house were to receive them. They were to go in and out from that house. And they were to go, the plan was, the mission plan, just go village according to village and heal everywhere. Singularity of mission and purpose and focus and life. That's the job that Jesus gave to these apostles. Now, I challenge us this morning to each individually consider in our own lives, are we really that equally focused in our own perceptions about our lives? Or is our focus instead on things like, when do I finally get to take that summer vacation that I've been planning? Or are we focused on climbing up the next rung of the ladder to improve our situation? Are we focused on the fact that we should be owed a perfect family life, comfortable homes, the liberty to chase after our dreams, and all the financial means in order to pursue those dreams? We live as if the present form of this earth is going to last forever. And yet we heard in 2 Peter 3 that it is instead short-lived. We live as if our purpose in life is to carve out our space in this short-lived world. But instead, the purpose of every day, today, and if by God's grace there's another day tomorrow or the next day after that, the purpose of these days is the same as that of the mission that Jesus gave to those apostles, to be serving the kingdom of God. Without that mission, there is no point to this messed up world going on another day. Oh, how miserably short we fall on our focus. But we often don't want to admit that. It's really a sign of idolatry that we get so much more focused on the creation than the creator. We don't want to admit that, especially those of us who are in the church. So what do? Instead of admitting our own idolatry, we instead pick out our pet sins to focus on the moral shortcomings of our current culture and say, that's the bad. But we reject Christ's singular call to be focused on the kingdom of God. So the question then is, who will rescue us? Sort of reminds us of Paul's words in Romans 7. Who will rescue us from this body of death? And the answer is Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who came and conquered the dominion of darkness. That's why the disciples could go out and release people from demons. Jesus is the one who conquered sin so that cancer never has the last word in our lives through disease. He conquered that for us through his resurrection. He's the one who makes people whole again, bringing back all the shattered pieces of brokenness that comes because of our sin. He's the one that Paul writes about in Romans chapter 8 when Paul said, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how then will he not also along with him grace us with all things? He's the one who graces us with the privilege of being the conduits through which the gospel is heard in this world and seen. And he's the one then who graces us with that amazing, distinct privilege to see the Spirit of God take the gospel and transform the life of a new believer into somebody who has become an heir of eternal life. So our prayer this morning is, thank you, Lord, for our Pentecost mission. We beg of you, Lord, to make this our singular obsession. And we thank you, Lord, that your singular obsession was the cross by which you have delivered us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our lives through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.